they've been making weaponized pathogens, and they're making all of our diseases. They've been doing this for years. How are we going to catch up? Right? So I started on the process on trying to identify these different ones. I think I'm up to like 108 different weaponized pathogens now that I have identified, and they're nasty. And that's when God started showing me things. And so one day I was just crying out, and I'm like, okay, what are we going to do about this? And he gave me a word, and he said, SIT. SIT. I'm like, what's that? He's like, Satanic Information Technology. But when God speaks to me, it's like, he can say one word, but then the whole thing's in my head. It's like, where did this information come from? And it's like, I just knew, like, okay, this is information on Satanic Information Technology is a form of nanotechnology that's really the software version. So it's literally software for nanotech, and it runs everything. They've been spraying it. They've been putting it in the injections. They've been putting it in the food. They've been putting it in different mosquitoes and things that bite or sting. And this form of technology is just crazy because it actually tells the other technology what to do. So when you look at a weaponized pathogen, it's actually half pathogen, half machine. Especially post-2020, everything changed in 2020. I mean, what we're seeing now is just crazy. But post-2020, 90% of all the infections I see now, when I'm testing people, they're not even normal pathogens. They're weaponized. It seems like the demonic side is not allowed to just give man all the answers. So like they can give him so much, and then man has to experiment. So they're using man to experiment on themselves to figure out, how do we get this technology to really do what we want, which is ultimately change humans into non-humans.
Welcome to the Days of Noah podcast, where we talk all things biblical, supernatural, and strange. On this episode, we conclude our second half of the conversation with Dr. Alfonso Manzo. And we finish this episode talking about how our food supply is manipulated, the micro chimeras that way back in the original days of Noah, Nephilim technology, they were manipulating. And I think it's just really instructive to understand the times and seasons we're living in. What sort of technology is out there as this beast system is being created? The infrastructure is being created. And Dr. Manzo really does seem to be on the forefront, the cutting edge of understanding this information, how the weaponized nanotech pathogens and Satanic Information Technology, SIT, the software that is able to send instructions to these nanotech pathogens, how all this works, that they can literally hide in our bodies and avoid detection, avoid treatments, and then be able to spring back the disease on us after the treatment is finished, or give us the impression that the treatment is working for a time and the symptoms are removed. All of this and much more, guys, in this episode, and we are definitely going to have Dr. Manzo back at least a second time. As always, guys, please remember to follow us on your favorite podcast platform, to share this episode with family and friends, and to give it a positive review or a 5-star rating. All those things help to grow the channel and get the information that we are talking about out to more people. If you'd like to support us further, please choose one of the support links in the show notes description to help keep the show going. With that, let's get into the second half of our conversation with Dr. Manzo.
When you look at where we are now, when we start talking about weaponized nanotech pathogens, which is one of my specialties, all that technology really came out of the Nazis. But I think what we do find is if you look, you take a step back and look at history in general, the Nephilim bloodlines never really got wiped out. And I think they've always been behind the scenes trying to bring this stuff about. And so I think there's many different layers that people play in. I think there's a people at the very top who are probably Nephilim or Nephilim hosts. And then you underneath that, you have people who are very demonic Satanists. And then, you know, you just have different levels of people being deceived. They work for the system and maybe they think the system is great. They think maybe they're developing technology that's going to save everybody or cure cancer or whatever. And they're just doped into not really asking the questions. And, you know, they're just taking the orders from the what's coming down from the top. But I think what happened in Nazi Germany, it was a really interesting time because they were really tapping into talking to demons or Nephilim and getting the secret knowledge. And I think that was just, I mean, you just came out of the time of, what were the two big ones? Alice Crowley and
Blavatsky.
Yeah, what was the other one?
Bailey.
With the bald head.
Levin.
So you have all this stuff playing out, and it seems like there was a reemergence into the demonic. And really after that, when you really look at it, at that same time period afterwards, technology has exploded. So I think what we see is they tapped into the demonic. They started getting all this technology, all this information, and they started putting it to practice. And it's like, I think they were there the whole time just waiting for a group of people who would actually listen to them and actually just put it into practice. And you see how they set up their chess game. It's like they took over the monetary system. They took control of the power systems. They took over the technology. They took over the medical field. So they started creating their beast system. And everywhere you look, it's like, oh, they control that too. Oh, they control that there. Oh, they control the media. So they can just push their agenda. And they've been very patient at rolling it out nice and slow to just kind of bring everyone along and just think this is some great thing. But yeah, that's what happened there in the 1940s with the Nazis, is they started really learning how to take multiple organisms and mix them together like a chimera. And then they add into that toxins and nanotechnology. And my view is, from just looking at all the documents, and then a lot of the stuff I learned was just downloads. God just had to give me downloads and speak to me, and I had to write stuff down and figure it out, because some of this stuff, like in the JFK book, you can just find from looking at the documents. I mean, they have patents. And that's how I got into this. I found out about WMFI, which is Weaponized Mycoplasma Fermentans Incognitus, and the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology admitted that that was the first one that they made with the Nazis. And then that led me into the nanotech, but let me see if I can find it. Here we go.
Doc, what was that specific use for? What did the military want with that particular one?
Basically, gain of function.
We can lose this on our enemies, yep, and we don't have to lose any soldiers.
Yep. Now, this is the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology. This is what they admitted that WMFI created. Okay, you have to remember, this is probably early 1950s, right? After Project Paperclip, the scientists are over here. This one weaponized pathogen, they admit, created AIDS, ALS, cancer, IBS, diabetes, chronic fatigue, MS, Parkinson's, rheumatoid arthritis, Alzheimer's, autoimmune thyroid, Wagner's disease, collagen, vascular diseases, Lyme disease, and fibromyalgia. And, oh yeah, they also mention prions or prions. And it's like, what? So when I found that research, that's when my head exploded. And I went, you mean they've been in the business of making disease since the 1950s, 1940s. And that's what I realized. And JFK even hints at it in his book. I don't think he goes far enough because he's not looking at the spiritual part.
Or RFK, rather.
RFK. My friend.
Yep.
Yeah, not JFK. He's gone. Yeah. Well, maybe he's gone. We don't know. No, I'm not going to go down that road.
Although, if you haven't, another book I could recommend to you, Dr. Mary's Monkey.
Have you heard of that one?
I have not seen that one.
Dr. Mary's Monkey. Oh, it's fantastic. Huh? Yeah, about the using the monkey biology to culture, and then the virus that was in cells. Yes, for the polio vaccine was created from that, and now you're infected millions of people with this cancer causing virus. Anyway.
Yep. See, I separate it. I call them weaponized pathogens and really weaponized nanotech pathogens. And I think they are actually different than biological warfare. Of course, they call them all biological warfare. But I see biological warfare as you've changed something chemically or some type of pathogen you've changed to kill people. So when they're exposed to it, it's almost instant death. This weaponized nanotech pathogen stuff is, it doesn't really kill people. It just creates diseases. And it plays a subtle role in behavior modification. And ultimately, it's pushing people towards transhumanism. So it's like, it goes right back to the agenda of problem solution. Let's create diseases, and then we're going to give you drugs for the diseases. And my suspicion today is that the drugs do nothing more than to tell the nanotechnology how to stop attacking the body, to turn off a certain symptom. So you're feeling better, and then they turn on new symptoms and put you on more drugs. So you're paying all this money to insurance, and while you're paying all this money to insurance to a medical system, that while you're under their care, you continually get sicker, and they sell you more drugs, and they steal all your money, and at the end of life, they have no real answers for you, and you end up dying. I mean, that is the medical system we have now.
It is.
So it's like, well who's... whose fingerprint is that?
Is it something as simple as simple as them just, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil? I mean, it's we've touched on several times dealing with the demonic and the supernatural and the, you know, Satan's agenda when it comes to a global society and things. So it's where's the tie between them just making all boatload of money and actually like fulfilling scripture, prophecy, you know, the globalist agenda? I'm not maybe connecting those dots.
No, that's okay. That's probably because I never wrote the book I wanted to write years ago. I was going to have a chapter called Big Business, Little Pawns. And the idea is, if you look behind the fingerprints, obviously, of this whole system, it lines up with Satan. It's lie, steal, kill. So they're going to lie to you, they're going to steal all your money, and then they're going to kill you. And it's like, that's our medical system. And, you know, that was kind of the elephant in the room with 2020. 2020 hit, and everyone woke up, and it's like, they're trying to kill us. What's going on? But the elephant in the room was, if you look at the top five causes of death in America. On that list, you have rightly prescribed prescription drugs. It's usually number 3 or 4, and that means drugs prescribed correctly and taken correctly. And then medical error is usually on that list. Well, if you add those two together, that is the cause of more death in our country than all the diseases combined.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
So the cure is actually worse than the disease.
So what you're saying is, if you put together correctly prescribed and taken doctor care and the mistakes, and you put those two pools of death together, you're saying that pool now is greater than the top two killers like heart disease and cancer?
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
In fact, I looked at the CDC's numbers. If you look at the numbers of how many people died in 2018 and 2019, it was higher than 2020. And then it went back up in 2021. And I joke around. I'm like, why is that? Because less people saw their medical doctor in 2020.
Oh, wow.
So the death rate went down during a pandemic.
Plus they're creating more disease because people are getting diagnosed. Young people are having heart attacks.
So to go back and answer your question, behind the scenes, Satan is doing exactly what he wants.
Steel
now, how is he doing that? Well, everyone's at a different level. So he knows very well how to manipulate people. The people at the very top, well, they're sold out. They're either Nephilim hosts or Satanists. They don't care. But underneath that, then you have the different levels of people. And it's like, okay, how are you going to manipulate them to do what I want you to? Money, you know, sex, pride. You know, you find their weakness and you entice them with that. Or we're going to kill your family if you don't shut up and just do what we say.
Yeah, it's carrot and stick.
So I think a lot of people just go along with the program because, you know, the enemy is very good in knowing how to entrap people.
So I'm going to ask another question. Do you think a lot of this is similar to what Dr. Mengele did as experiments for, you mentioned transhumanism. Do you think this is a precursor to something, maybe you did say it, that's going to genetically change you? That's almost like a human 2.0.
Yeah, the mark of the beast. That's what we've talked about many times, is that it's not just going to be, oh, you can buy and sell, it's so convenient. But it may be something that is irreversibly changing us. And maybe it's the same old thing. Oh, we're going to solve all diseases. And we've talked about it, Luke. This is interesting. In Chuck Misler's Revelation series, he admits, he says, the one verse in Revelation I can't wrap my head around is men seeking for death and not finding it. I feel if I put a shotgun to my head, I would probably be able to do the job. And he's like, I don't understand that. And we've talked about it many times, Luke and Dr. Monzo, that maybe this is something that is a self-healing. And even, you know, you go back to Rephaim, the connotation, as Gary Wayne has showed, has a self-healing nature to it.
Well, you just hit the head on the nail. I think that's exactly where the nanotechnology is going. So to take a step back, so when I first found out about this stuff, the first problem I had was like, okay, so they've been making weaponized pathogens and they're making all of our diseases. They've been doing this for years. How are we going to catch up? Right. So I started on a process on trying to identify these different ones. I think I'm up to like 108 different weaponized pathogens now that I have identified, and they're nasty. But that's when God started showing me things. And so one day I was just crying out and I'm like, okay, what are we going to do about this? And he gave me a word and he said, SIT. And I was like, SIT? I'm like, what's that? He's like, Satanic Information Technology. And you know how when you get a download, well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. I don't know. Everyone's different. But when God speaks to me, it's like he can say one word, but then the whole thing's in my head. It's like, where did this information come from? And it's like, I just knew, like, okay, this is informational. Satanic Information Technology is a form of nanotechnology that's really the software version. So it's literally software for nanotech, and it runs everything. And of course, we know nanotechnology is really small. Try to get people to wrap their minds around it. We're talking like if you consider a sheet of paper. So you're holding up a sheet of paper. That thickness of the paper is 100,000 nanometers thick. And most of these nanoparticles they're making today are like 1 to 2 nanometers. So we're talking so small that if they're spraying this stuff, which they are, and they started putting them in the injections right away. And if you look back, most of the injections started around the same time period. So they've been spraying it. They've been putting it in the injections. They've been putting it in the food. They've been putting it in different mosquitoes and things that bite or sting. We're breathing this stuff in. And this form of technology is just crazy because it actually tells the other technology what to do. So when you look at a weaponized pathogen, it's actually half pathogen, half machine. Right? So when you look at nanotechnology, I usually have 5 categories, I think. So the first category would be nanotech particles, materials. Maybe it's carbon nanotubes, maybe it's iron oxide, whatever. Then you have little nanobots. These are little machines, which they admit they've already have them. They've already been using them. They're already in the environment. You can look up nanotech nano cars or nano submarines, and you'll find out that they can fit like, is it 30,000 of these on a tip of a pen? And they get in your body and they can swim around and they can deliver drugs to the different parts of your body. So I already find people with these in their body.
It's the Magic Bus cartoon.
It is.
they're going around. Oh man.
And then you have nanotech pathogens, which are what most people mistakenly call biological weapons. So it's half pathogen, half machine. You have the SIT, which is the nanotech software, and then you have the newest thing we're starting to see now, which is the nanotech life forms, or they call it nanotech biology. And that is where it's completely nanotech, it's completely machine, but it looks biological. It looks like a parasite, or they're growing these false organs for a transplant. It looks like a biological bladder, but it's not. It's completely nanotech material, and it functions like a biological substance. And it's like, that is creepy. And that's what a lot of people are pulling out of themselves with these clots and stuff. And people are mistakenly thinking, well, this is just nanotech self-assembling. And it's like, well, that's the story they tell you with their fake science. Is it really that, or is this self-assembling nanotechnology that's self-assembling in the body and creating this very weird clot-like material? And I think that's why that one guy, that Dr. Lee, is not getting any answers, because I think they know that the whole story on antigens, on why we were using vaccines, was a bunch of bogus from the beginning. It's all crap science anyways. So, but the problem is, if they come out and admit it is to prove him wrong, well, then it's like, well, why did we ever need vaccines? Then they have to admit that the whole game, the whole time, has been weaponized nanotech.
Wow. So that's the smoke screen. No, because along with Operation Paperclip, we hired the war criminals from Shiro Ishii's Unit 731, and they were dissecting live people. Yeah. They would give them a pathogen, a bioweapon, a chemical, and then see how it would what it would do to them, and they're dissecting them while and we hired him. The Russians wanted to prosecute the guy, and we hired him along with these Nazis, SS war criminals.
Yeah, and that's where I wonder with, like, where is the line between how much information they get from the occult? It's like, when I look at the SITs, this was obviously technology, I believe, given right over from the Nephilim to man. And I think this is why no one understands nanotechnology. So your basic scientist who's in a laboratory messing with this stuff, you know, they've gone through the whole system of education. So they've been basically brainwashed into thinking that they're working with this great medical system. They're trying to cure cancer. And now they have this new technology that's like groundbreaking, and we're going to cure all these diseases, and we're going to live forever. I mean, that is, like you were saying, that is the title of, what is it, Time Magazine? I forget which one it is, but there's one you might be able to find.
The Year Man Becomes Immortal.
The year, is it like 2040, the year man becomes immortal? And it almost has like the Matrix-like thing on the back of the guy's head. So I think they handed this information over and this technology over, and then it got lost as to, or just not known, where did the technology really come from. So I think a lot of these people are messing around with technology that they don't know where it came from. They just know it's cool. And that's why you have people like Rice University that talk about teslaphoresis, that nanoparticles can self-assemble and self-organize and create and build itself in the presence of EMFs. And what do they say about this? What do they say every time they discover something new? They say, we just discovered. And it's like, well, if you're making this stuff, how do you not know it does that? What do you mean you discovered what nanotech can do? So to me, it sounds like the enemy handed over very advanced technology. He's in control of it ultimately. But the little puppets, the pawns of the big game, are the scientists, and they think they're in control of it, and they're discovering new things about it, and it's the coolest new thing that they have to play around with. And it's like, do you realize what you're playing around with? And I don't think they have a clue.
No,
I think only the people at the very top know, and they're just laughing, and everyone else just thinks, oh, we're going to save the world.
They gave him the box of Legos.
What was the quote from Jurassic Park? You know, it's like you're too busy worried about whether you could. You stop to ask whether you should.
Right.
Right. Exactly. And this technology is advanced. I mean, I don't have the whole list here in front of me. Actually, I can probably get it. But like,
well, yeah,
go ahead and ask your question and see if
I was going to ask about parasites and mental illness and affecting our minds, because Dr. Laura did an interview. I don't know how long ago it was, but she was talking about that, how they can change how we think. And now I'm wondering about nanotech and, you know, robotic pseudo biologics that are doing that sort of thing. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Right. So to go back to what I was saying a minute ago, I think that for whatever reason, I don't know if it's the spiritual laws or what it is that are put in place. It seems like the demonic side is not allowed to just give man all the answers. So like they can give him so much and then man has to experiment. And it's like we're constantly experimenting, or maybe it's the Nephilim really just don't know because they're not the creator. So they're using man to experiment on themselves to figure out how do we get this technology to really do what we want, which is ultimately change humans into non-humans. So 20 years ago, we used to see, you know, almost everyone would have parasites or fungus, and you'd take some herbs and you'd knock it out and you'd detox the body. It was easy.
Welcome to the Lost Roman Heroes podcast. My name is Matthew.
And my name is Matteo.
We are serious nerds for Rome, and we are father and son.
Together in the Lost Roman Heroes podcast, we dive deep into the history of Rome, from its origin story starring Aeneas of Troy to its death with Constantine the 11th, uncovering Rome's greatest heroes along the way and ranking them.
There are plenty of great podcasts on the big men in Rome's history, guys like Caesar, Augustus, and Constantine, but that's not us. We're making this podcast to shed a light on Rome's forgotten heroes. From Cincinnatus to Scipio, from Aurelian to Belisarius and beyond, you will not believe the gems that we uncover. So please come join the Legion of Lost Roman Heroes and listen to us wherever you get your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, or find us at www.lostromanheroes.com.
The more time has gone by, the more and more difficult that's getting, because people are more and more deficient in their nutrients and they're more and more toxic. But especially post 2020, everything changed in 2020. I mean, what we're seeing now is just crazy. But post 2020, 90% of all the infections I see now when I'm testing people, they're not even normal pathogens. They're weaponized. So,
and what sets it apart? Like, what do you see as the difference?
What sets it apart is the ability I have to do the type of testing I do.
Okay.
So with the frequency-based testing, I have all the different weaponized pathogens in there, and they're all the different categories. So you have like weaponized fungus, you have weaponized viruses, even though a virus isn't really a pathogen. It's more of software. But you have weaponized fungus, you have weaponized slime mold, you have weaponized mildew, you have weaponized protozoa, you have weaponized tapeworms, you have weaponized roundworms, you have weaponized bacteria, you have weaponized mycoplasmas. They're classifications. And then each classification has a number of different ones that we finally identify a name for them. And the name for them is basically the name the body recognizes, but it's the name of basically everything they kind of put together in that organism, because even though it might the body might recognize it as a weaponized slime mold, when you break it down, there's all kinds of parasites there. There are molds in there. There's viruses in there. There's nanotechnology in there. There's different heavy metal particles in there. So it's not one thing.
It's a gain of function.
Yep. It's just whatever has the most DNA in that specific chimera or whatever weird thing it is kind of where the name comes from.
Okay.
So when you have those and you can test, and then you have the normal parasites, what I find now is the normal parasites hardly show up on the testing anymore. The body's like, no, it's this. So if you weren't testing this, you would test the person and you would say, oh, you have a slime mold. Oh, you have a tapeworm. Now that I'm testing this stuff, it's like, no, this is a weaponized tapeworm. This is a weaponized slime mold. And when you have the weaponized version, it will attract the normal parasites of that same category. There's a fancy word for this in biology called bacteria colonization, I think it is, where certain bacteria will colonize and attract other bacteria of the same type. And I think the weaponized pathogens do the same thing. If it's a weaponized tapeworm, it will attract tapeworms into the body, and your body will be busy attacking the tapeworms. But the weaponized stuff can go into stealth mode. Just like he mentioned in his book, he actually mentioned that they made these stealth pathogens. I'm like, yes, they did. Because that's one of this, that's actually SIT number two is called stealth tech. And it's the same technology that DARPA has used with the stealth jets. It bends and unbends light. And your body's real immune system works based off light. Actually, almost everything in the body actually works off of light. This is why they don't want you knowing about the body's energy systems.
Wow.
And when it can do that, it can make itself invisible to your body. It can literally hide and your body can't find this weaponized pathogen, but it's causing all this damage. So your body's going in the freak out mode, trying to find what's causing all the damage, and it can't find it. It can't fight against it. And that's just one SIT, but they have SIT that are like power supply tech that steals your body's energy. They have virus tech that can just make false information. There's repair tech where it can actually repair itself, like you were talking about. Mm-hmm. There's network and communication tech where it can actually create networks and communication in your body, which then connects you to some outside source so they can actually communicate directly into you. They even have transportation tech and tracking tech. And the tracking tech, not only does it track where you are with your location, but it can actually track where you are in time space. Yeah, that blows your mind. And then they have the transportation tech, which I think a lot of the transportation tech today is being used by people who do astral projection. Because you notice how it used to be, you had to be a pretty advanced master in the occult to do astral projection. Now it's like everyone can do it.
Hmm.
It's really weird. So, I mean, this technology is like so far. I mean, this is why you can't talk about it because people think you're crazy. This is like out of the movies.
So one thought and one question. This sounds exactly like you said, Days of Noah, but back then, because they were messing with the animals and the plants and the DNA, and we're talking about it on a microscopic level of them messing with it. You know, maybe they did that microscopic back then, maybe not, but they certainly are now. So that observation. And then the question is, having to do with are some of these gain of function where you said it's a virus and a parasite and all these other things wrapped into one thing becoming weaponized. Are some of these things pure biologics that are mashed together to make a super weapon? And then some are actual, like, 'cause when I think nanotech, if I'm understanding it correctly,
mm-hmm.
This is like, well, you said software, so maybe I'm confusing myself, but is this actually like a circuit, like a computer circuit board kind of thing inserted with biologics?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now, more and more what we're seeing is they're getting into the nanotech life forms. That seems to be the new goal, where that's Terminator.
Oh,
it's a machine, but on the outside, it looks biological.
Yes.
So they don't even need the pathogens anymore necessarily. That's how advanced they're starting to get.
But some of the pathogens are just pure pathogens kind of mixed together to make a superbug.
Okay. And that's how they started in the 40s.
Okay.
So they would literally take, and they started with mycoplasmas, because mycoplasmas are small bacteria, and the majority of mycoplasmas are not dangerous to the body. There's only like a handful that are. So what they did is in the old days, they would use the mycoplasma and they would put a bunch of stuff in it, like a Trojan. and the body would see the mycoplasma and not think of anything of it. But the payload was like inside. And that's how they first started. Then they started learning how to like mix the DNA and make like these chimera type things. So yeah, there is a biological material there. Now there is nanotechnology that's not combined with pathogens either. So that's why it gets really confusing. And you know, that nanotech is just, it's just nanotechnology, just little butts or nanoparticles that they're spraying. And so, you know, they don't have to get all this stuff in your body all at one time. You know, you can accumulate it over the years of them spraying and giving you vaccines. And then in the body, if they can activate it with Wi-Fi and 5G, it can start self-assembling and build new technology, synthetic biology in your body. And now all of a sudden they can start communicating with you. I mean, I call it disease on demand now. That's where they're going, where they can send out a wireless signal that tells the technology in your body to turn on a new disease. And all of a sudden, you know, I think that's how the next pandemic is going to be. They don't even have to release anything necessarily from a lab. All they have to do now is send a message out to probably the people who took the jab and turn on a new disease. And that stuff is designed to be self-shedding, right? I don't know if you guys saw the report in 2021, the beginning of 2021, they started talking about self-disseminating vaccines. I never heard of the word before. I was like, what are they talking about that? I'm like, what is that? So I looked it up. Self-disseminating vaccines were vaccines they created for animals that once they injected like 20% of the animal, it would get spread to all of them. Self-disseminating. And I was like, okay, this, there's only one reason why you would throw this out here all of a sudden at the beginning of 2021. That's because the jab's going to be self-disseminating. And that's what we actually see is a lot of people have the effects of shedding. Now, I can definitely say the effects of shedding are not as bad as the people who actually took the jab. The people that took the jab that come in to see me, they're loaded with stuff and they're having all kinds of problems if they didn't die before they got to see me. But we are getting that stuff out of the body. So that's why I was pretty confident that, you know, the jab is not the mark of the beast. And I know a lot of people were saying that, but it's like, look, we're still buying and selling. We're not there yet. This was definitely an experiment because when you look at the, I've tested a lot of the vials because I have different connections and people bring things to me, but there were vials that had nothing in it. They were placebos. There were vials that had a lot of stuff. There were vials that had little, very little stuff. And we're saying across the board, it didn't matter if you had the Moderna or the Johnson & Johnson. Or,
so even the same brand might have different lots of stuff in it.
Based and on all of them matter. Basically looked the same. Hmm. The only difference between the different types was the amounts of what was in it. Like some had more heavy metals, some had more weaponized, some had more nanotech, some had more pesticides, some had more viral load. I mean,
well, that right there shows the deception because they're obviously tracking, you know, we made 100,000 of this lot and it had these ingredients in it.
Yep.
And we know who got those.
Exactly. You know how they were logging it. I have a pharmacist friend that told me they were logging it by the insurance. With the insurance, when you got a jab, whether it was free or not, they had to put the lot number in when they filed.
Oh, my goodness.
So in your medical records, they know exactly who got what.
So, okay, couple things.
So I think that's just a process of they're still testing their technology.
Yes.
And I think what I've been seeing is they're really good with this CRISPR technology. They actually have a CRISPR A and I. CRISPR technology A and I came out in 2000. Well, they talked about it in 2021 as being the type of technology that was actually going to be in the jab, because CRISPR Cas9 was not very stable, and it was cumbersome. So they came out with this AI, and I find that just ironically they use those two letters. And they said there was one caveat to the CRISPR A and I, or I and A, whichever way you want to put it. And that is, in order for it to work, and what it's doing is it can turn on and off different genes. So it can get into genes, separate the genes, either and sort a new code into the gene or turn genes on and off. But they really explain it as turning genes on and off. And in order for it to maintain those changes, the body needs to express a artificial protein. So if you want to know why they came up with this idea of the spike protein, they're making a synthetic artificial protein in your body that allows this technology to continually alter the genes. So where they are right now is they're able to alter the genes and turn them on and off, but it doesn't look like they're able to completely change them. So I think that's where they're headed, and that's what they're trying to figure out. How do we change the DNA code into something completely different? Not just turning on and off expressions.
Yeah. A couple things. The COVID jab and IP addresses. I've heard of...
That seems to be a
people,
thing.
People being in a room of people. They know there's not, you know, 20 different Wi-Fi signals available or Bluetooth signals or whatever. But they do a search on their phone or their computer and they're seeing all of these signals.
I've played around with it a little bit and it does seem to be a thing. Now, the first video I saw was, I don't know where the guy was, but there was a researcher and he was interested and he went to a cemetery.
Nobody around.
Nobody around, and he found all kinds of signals by all the new dug graves.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's like, I'm not going to tell you what I think about this, but he's like, I think people were injected with something that's actually creating a network. And I would not doubt that the jab is actually working and turning people into antennas for 5G. Because if you think about it, the whole thing was... 5G doesn't go very far. So they have to put boosters everywhere. And it's like, well, exactly. Where have they been putting those?
In us.
I haven't really seen them.
Oh, my gosh. And you were saying that EMF, electromagnetic frequencies, can transmit and be able to communicate to program the nanotech to be able to do certain things.
Yeah, and that's because of the SATs. So okay. Either nanotechnology can have built-in AI, or more likely, the nanotechnology in the body, once it gets sophisticated enough where it creates a communication network, it connects to wireless devices, and it connects to AI. That's when it becomes relatively dangerous, because what you have to understand is the armed forces admitted that when they made this stuff, that it could get in your body and be inactive for years. They said 20, 30, 50, 80 years, and something activates it. Now, normally what activates it is some type of trauma, which just happens to be the same explanation for autoimmune type diseases based on vaccines. And I don't know if people realize this, but when you talk to the vaccine experts on vaccine damage, they will tell you that all vaccines technically create autoimmune diseases, but it's 20 to 30 years after you get it. And this is when the stress of life kicks in and the stress then activates. And it's like, well, that's interesting. It's the same story. That's because weaponized nanotech has been in the vaccines. So then when this stuff gets activated and it has an AI system, it's particularly nasty because it will scan your body and find your weaknesses and create a disease for you. Have you ever wondered why everyone had different symptoms during COVID? Because it was weaponized. And it's creating disease based on your weaknesses. And I mean, when you think about it, it's a brilliant idea because how can you ever track it?
Right. Yeah, it's
people
tailored.
Think it's, oh, I got something different. It can't be COVID because I don't have the same issues you do. It's like, well, it could have been the same thing.
Yeah. So how and where are they manufacturing this stuff? Because if you're going to roll out, you know, a million little tiny circuits for a million cell phones, you got to have a factory somewhere. So they're manufacturing these tiny little machines, these tiny little robots in some way. Is it pharma doing that? You know, I worked at a contract manufacturing plant in pharma. And, you know, we're just dealing with things like acetaminophen and potassium and, you know, nutraceutical, you know, peppermint oil, yes, stuff like that. So I was handling the ingredients. It was pretty simple stuff. But yeah, where would this be manufactured? What kind of tech would create all of this that they can inject or put in a pill?
Yeah, that's the question.
Hmm.
I have to think that that's why we have all these, the secret military bases.
Okay.
I have to think that this is being done in top secret labs, not in your basic. The really deep stuff is probably being done in these top secret labs. And then, you know, it gets shipped to wherever they need to finish off the process with like the basic stuff.
Yeah.
And no, you really think about it on at this level of technology, it's like programming a computer. Or might we use an example of the voting booths? Once those machines are programmed, how are you gonna know when they're delivered to you? If you're not able to see the coding. So, you know, if they're creating this stuff in these top secret military bases and then they ship the stuff off to some pharmaceutical company that put it in X, Y, and Z, how are they gonna know? All they know is they have this biological material. Oh, we got the virus. Here it is. And they need to put this in, isolate it, and do whatever.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling that people don't really, the majority of people never really see where they're actually making this stuff, is my guess.
Yeah.
Well, because the game would kind of be up at that point.
Well, that's why Fauci had to have the Wuhan lab so he could get away with doing things he couldn't do at Fort Detrick.
Right.
And no, I think you're right on the money with that, because you have the deep underground military bases. You have a lot of secrecy in the military, and RFK talks about our own government for years have tested weaponry, biologics, and so on its own soldiers, on different populations across our country. They've tested it. So they've been testing it.
Yep. And it's kind of like, you know, where are all these kids that are being kidnapped all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the child trafficking? It's like, we still don't, there has to be places they're storing these kids. It's like, where's that taking place? Well, probably at the same place.
Yep.
I think the Nephilim have their own little bases.
Yeah.
And that's Luke, where the real stuff is happening.
Luke, wasn't it someone that you heard of that talked about Area 52 below Caesar's Palace?
Well, that was Pastor Doug Riggs.
The Nephilim Project.
And he was repeating what a survivor had remembered, you know.
Yeah.
Someone that was trauma based, that was split multiple, that a part of them remembered, you know, that the secret stuff is even deeper or in another place, and they were actually there. So,
yeah, they called it Area 52.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's places we don't even know about that are deep underground. They're in other countries. And yeah, that, there you go. That's where it's being manufactured. Wow. Gosh, where do we go from here? I wanted to ask you about the food supply and changes in that.
Yeah.
I mean, we can keep talking nanotech, but I'm sure we'll talk on another episode about.
But the genetics is tied to the food. So, I mean, even when we were in high school, it was talking about this new science of genetic engineering, and you'll have this apple, GMOs. This tomato that is going to stay ripe longer, and you know, all these, and then obviously you've got organizations that are like, we don't want any GMOs in our food. You know, so there is that. Let's talk about food for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I mean, that's another sign of the days of Noah. So they're genetically modifying the food now, and they're trying to genetically modify us. And it's like, okay, so what was the major thing going on during the days of Noah? I don't think most people know. They're just like, oh, the flood. It's like, well, why was there a flood? Well, because all the genetically modifying. You know, they were mixing with humans, and they were mixing with animals, and they were doing who knows what was actually on the earth. You know, I sit there and I hear all these stories about the mythology. And now I'm at the opinion, it's like, you know what? I have a feeling half of that stuff was actually real. And yeah, it's been whatever, you know, added to and maybe
embellished,
exaggerated and embellished. But I mean, I think a lot of that stuff they were probably creating. And so now what do we see them doing again? Well, now they're creating GMOs. And it's like, well, you know, this is why God told you you're not supposed to mix the seeds of two different plants together. You're not supposed to take the seeds of two different animals and mix them together. And then they're not self-replicating. So that's a weird thing. That's a really interesting thing when you look at the plants, because it's like, okay, so they don't want the plants to replicate after themselves. So what do you think they're really going to want us to do?
You mean making the plants sterile where they can't, come back?
Yeah, they can't re-germinate.
Right.
So what they did is they messed with the germination process. And this gets really interesting. Because, let's see if I have it here. I do. I was talking to someone the other day, and we were getting into this. One of the big things I do for people with unbound iron has become a major health problem. Because in order for your body to use iron, you need copper. And copper is a major deficiency because they've been using pesticides for copper. Now, the perfect copper chelator is glyphosate. Now, glyphosate messes up the phosphates in food. And at the moment of germination, one of the things you really need is IP6, which is what I recommend for people. IP6 is inositol hexaphosphate. It's a natural fiber and B vitamin that used to be found in all grains and in the seeds of all plants, because in germination, you need IP6 to carry out the germination, the seeding. And that's when the body, or when the plant loads itself up with all of its minerals it needs. So the very process they're taking out at the very beginning with the GMO is when the plant would load up all of its nutrients it needs. So then when the plant dies, it doesn't regerminate. You have to plant new seeds. So you get into this catch-22 where you have to continually buy seeds from
Monsanto.
From them. And the plants are designed to not be affected by the spraying, which I think is another huge principle for people to see. So if you look outside the window and you use the parables, because this was what the Messiah always did. He used the parables of what was growing out in the field. It's like, okay. So we have the real plants, and now we have GMO plants, genetically modified. And we're going to spray everything with these poisons, and the poisons only kill the real plants. So when people want to know, well, why would they be spraying and poisoning the environment? Aren't they hurting themselves? Now, if it's the Nephilim, they're already changed. The only people they're affecting is the real humans.
And let me add, obviously the scripture talks about, you know, that we could even consume poisons and it won't hurt us. So mm-hmm. Yep. I encourage everybody, and you talked about the shedding. God made our bodies in such an amazing fashion. Even this toxins that we're consuming, whether it's a vaccine or whatever, our body is like, this is not the way I was created, you know, I don't need this. So it's getting rid of it. And there's a biblical principle of a blessing and speaking blessings. You know, why do we pray over our food? We're speaking a blessing to bless and to sanctify this food for the nourishment of my body. So I just encourage everybody, you know, that's especially the believers that stand on the word, on Jesus and the blood. Do this when, you know, you consume your foods, when you drink your water, you know, when you're about your life, breathing the fresh air that might not be so fresh anymore, you know, that God would just, you know, make it the way it's supposed to be, you know, like the Garden of Eden.
Absolutely.
Why not? We're people of faith.
Yeah.
Yeah, because even if you're at home and you can buy all the greatest stuff, the reality is it's pretty hard to find completely organic food anymore because the environment right. is so. We were just looking at one of the statistics from, it was from France, that they're finding that 90% of the French people are peeing glyphosate.
Wow.
Now, that's a frightening thought because that's a country that's against using it.
Oh, wow.
So now you're sitting there going, okay, so where is it in America? It's everywhere. So even the organic farmers, even though they're not technically using it, it's coming down in the rain.
Yeah, so it's like forever chemicals and things.
Yeah, you can't get rid of it. And then if you're on the road and you're traveling, what are you going to do? You can't find the local health food store to buy your food. You have to eat whatever's at the restaurant. So praying over stuff, I think, is a really smart idea these days.
Sorry, but get back to some of the science of the food and what they're trying to do, because it's interesting. I remember there was a documentary speaking to this, because you got these companies that are patenting seeds. Right. And, you know, even if you got a farmer that doesn't want to use that and they're non-GMO and don't want this patented stuff, someone from the company might go to your field, and because a truck
or the
drove
neighbor's
by,
field. Yeah,
or the a truck drove by that has the finished wheat that has been genetically changed, and some of it falls into your field. But now you're not one of our licensed farmers, and you got our patent. We're going to sue you.
Yeah, yep.
It's been taking place.
I forget what the name of that documentary was, but yeah. Monsanto.
Right. Yeah. It's like,
I forget what the name of that documentary was, but yeah.
But how all these subjects kind of blend together, from pharmaceutical to the food to, I mean, they're interconnected.
Absolutely.
And a lot of these industries or companies are got their hands in both things, the food and the pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're from the dust of the earth. So what gets interesting is this concept of the iron. So in the Bible, there's two words. There's a Hebrew word barzel, and there's a Hebrew word parzel. So the only difference is the beginning. One's a bet and one's a pay. Now, barzel is used like 73 times in the Bible, and it just means iron, that which comes from the earth. Parzel is only used 20 times, and all 20 times is in the book of Daniel. And when you look at the etymological use of that word, it has this idea of mixed iron, or like blacksmithing or iron work. So something that has been changed by man, altered. So it's interesting because I sit there and I go, could this be referring to man-made or mixing iron? In other words, not a natural form of iron, such as we now have iron oxide nanoparticles and magnetic iron oxide nanoparticles and spions. So in Daniel, he has two. There's this image. Nebuchadnezzar has the statue. And the last kingdom is the feet, 10 toes, mixed of iron and clay. It's like, that's interesting. But then there's this other passage I never saw before until I got into the stuff about nanotechnology. It's Daniel 2:43, and it says, where thou hast seen the statue and the feet mixed with iron and clay, you also see that they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. So really interesting. Mixed in there, he's saying, hey, you've seen this statue, but the other thing here is this final kingdom is going to try to mingle into the seed of men. Well, what's the seed of men? The DNA. And it's like, whoa, is this talking about the final kingdom and what they're going to try to do with nanotechnology? And then when you start understanding the way to get the iron out of the body is to get this IP6, which is this natural fiber and B vitamin that used to be in our foods. And then when you find out that's what's needed for the germination process, which is what they're cutting off in the GMO foods, it goes, you're like, oh man, wait a minute here. So what are they really trying to do to us? So, you know, they're putting the technology right in the food now. And then it's going to get even crazier because now they're talking about 3D printed food and putting in vaccines, injections into food and into animals. So they want to put the, what they call the mRNA technology. They want to put that in plants and animals. And it's like, okay, well, when you hear mRNA technology, you just have to know that they're talking about nanotechnology. There is no mRNA technology. The mRNA technology is basically the CRISPR technology, which is nanotech. And they just don't want to tell you that. The most truthful, of course, was Moderna. So if you remember Moderna's website, they came out and said, we created a software delivery system. See if I can find it. Here it is.
Wow, they actually used that term.
Yep. I have a slide here I took from their website before they took it down. This was Moderna's website. It says, recognizing the broad potential of mRNA science, we set out to create an mRNA technology platform that functions very much like an operating system on a computer. And it is designed so that it can be plug and play interchangeably with different programs. It's like, what? I thought this was a vaccine. What are you talking about? And then they show this picture. And in the picture, it says the DNA is the storage. So your DNA is the storage. The mRNA is the software. And the protein it's going to create is the application. And then they have this other really interesting thing here. It says, we need to get the mRNA technology into the targeted tissue and cells while evading the immune system. I thought this was about immunity.
And if you're programmed, right, like we have been for generations, that MDs, doctors know best, not to question them, not to bring up, well, I heard this, just trust, trust, trust. I even fired a doctor because I asked questions and he didn't like it. And because of his response, I was like, I'm done with you.
Or he fired you. I've had doctors fire patients.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
because they wouldn't do what they wanted.
But if you're of that mindset that they know best, kind of like someone that just sits in front of media, mm-hmm, they know best. You're going to trust this pharmaceutical company that.
Yep.
It's crazy.
And with the compartmentalization, people want this. They want the soundbite. Oh, cholesterol causes heart disease. Okay, got it. That's all I need to know. They want that quick and easy.
Yep. And the pharmaceutical companies have, you know, presented this pseudoscience to the doctors that, right, you know, all this is about antigens and antibodies and the mRNA and DNA. And oh, we have this mRNA technology and it's going to go in and this is what it's going to do. But then you come to one of these people and you read their real website and they're talking about an operating system, folks. This is not what your medical doctor knows as mRNA.
No,
it's plug
the
and
doctor
play.
Knows the doctors know the Cliff Notes version. Like you were saying earlier, they're not reading the studies.
So they haven't heard about CRISPR-I and CRISPR-A and how that's the technology they're actually going to use. And it's nanotechnology and it's going to go into your body and it's going to make alterations to the DNA and it needs to express a synthetic protein to maintain that. It's like, oh, there's the whole game. So what's the spike protein? It's not a spike protein at all. It's synthetic nanotechnology. So they're making synthetic proteins and synthetic peptides in your body that look like real ones, but they're not.
Well, we're gonna be talking to Joe Lee on the show here in a week or two. But man, I gotta get him connected with you. I feel like because I think with what he's talking about with this chain of proteins causing damage, I think if he understood it from the nanotech side, that might be a new wrinkle in how it works with these vaccines. But
yeah, wow. Definitely. Because it can be completely synthetic.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, Man, I think we set up a really good foundation of this Fingerprints of the Beast system. I'm thinking of a name for the episode. Another term I wrote down is micro chimeras.
That's good.
You like that? So, because I'm thinking about, yeah, the chimera technology in the days of Noah that necessitated the flood. And whether they're doing it on a micro level or not, not sure. But they certainly are now.
They certainly are now.
And isn't it just like Satan to come in and tinker? He can't create, but he's tinkering with what God has made. And he's doing it on a DNA microscopic level.
Yeah, and one of the things I've heard with, you know, we work with SRA too, Satanic yes. Ritual Abuse. And we've had one person who, now that she's pretty integrated back, she had a lot of her memories. She didn't actually have, she had biological parents, but she was basically like grown like in the laboratory. And it's really crazy because it's like, that seems to be the new approach to their inbreeding or whatever you want to call it. It's not like women are having sex with angels anymore. It's like, this has become very technological. So they're now down to the DNA level of messing around with stuff.
The Petri dish level.
Yep.
Well, that's what was reported by Pastor Doug Riggs and the survivors he was working with, that there was, yep. he called it the Hitler splice on his website, DougRiggs.org, that they were using, even before we knew that in the public that this was possible, they were saving Hitler's genes, his seed, for multiple generations later. And
yeah, and Mengele too.
Yeah, and mixing that basically in a Petri dish. I don't know how they did it, but it's like artificial insemination, and you're taking that lineage, which is which is demonically charged because he's probably was unrepentive, you know, and all the sin that he did.
Iniquity force, and yes.
Iniquity force. So a lot of this, yes, I said it again before, you know, it's intermingled for the end time agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, have you guys heard of any of the, I'm sure you have, some of the work Rob Skiba did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and he was pretty adamant that, because he saw some of it during the Desert Storm, one of the main reasons we were in Desert Storm is because they found the remains and tomb of Nimrod, and they were extracting Nimrod's body, and they had something called like something to do with like a resurrection tomb. So you really wonder, okay, so are they actually going to try to bring this guy back? Because he'd be the perfect description for the Antichrist. I mean, he really is the Assyrian.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, all the names for the Antichrist is like Nimrod.
That's what Chuck Misler says, like Assyrian 2.0. Maybe it's the actual one. I mean, it says the one who was not and will be again, right? Yeah. So it's someone that died that's coming back. Wow. All right. I want to leave a few teasers since we're out of time for now.
All right.
Because we got to have you back, man, and keep digging in. This is great. So I think we should flesh out SIT a little more. Let's get into the SRA stuff that you're talking about, because we love to cover that and expose that evil.
Yeah.
We did a good bit on nanotech, but any more we can add is fine. Some things that I wrote in my notes as I'm listening to your episodes with Rod. So if you have not checked out the Millennial Mustard Seed, and as of this recording, Rod has 4 episodes with Dr. Monzo. Well worth your time. And I'll leave a link to at least one of those so you can check that out in the description. But you mentioned some things about snake venom. In the garden, the serpent diviner. I'm just throwing some terms out here to get you thinking about for next time. We didn't even touch on the Aleph Tav system. I bought your book, and I want to learn how to do a lot of these techniques. So yeah, we could spend a good bit of time talking about that, about about
laying
healing.
On hands.
Yeah, healing from our own body's electromagnetic system, right?
Yeah, just with touch. Just with touch.
Just with touch. You know, do you know Dr. Edward Group? He worked with Alex Jones and InfoWars Life. And he would often say, you know, it's basically a toxicity or deficiency for all disease. But now I'm starting to think it's, you got to add in a third one, and maybe it's these energy systems in the body
too. Yes, that's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Because the body does have a software system.
Right.
Which is why they're trying to make a fake software system.
Oh my gosh. Because they understand that. See, it's Nephilim tech, Luke. They understand our system to know how to manipulate it. We could talk about Dr. Emoto and his water experiments next time. I did a couple like 10, 15 years ago. I think I still have them on YouTube somewhere. I cut an apple in half and I put them in different containers, and I put, you know, negative words like hate and ugly on one, and the difference was incredible versus the other. And then I did the same thing with rice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the one with the positive words on it, and sometimes I would say the words, I would think it to that container, and same with the negative one. But after 3 weeks, the positive one looked and smelled like fresh brown rice, and the negative one, I'll have to send you the video. I know you've seen this stuff, but it's pretty cool that I did it and I saw it. And the negative one had like this yellow pus. It was disgusting.
And Pete, remember I was telling you about the interview that Sean Ryan, the Sean Ryan show had? He had the Colonel John Alexander. Okay. And he was the one that was the main one. Remember the movie, The Men Who Stared at Goats?
Yes.
Oh. And how the government was working on all these different really kind of out there projects. And he admits, yeah, there is power in the words that you're the frequency, the tone, the was the positive word or a negative word. Like, the military has been working on this for years.
Yep. And Derek Prince had his teaching on blessings and curses. People that were told all their life growing up, I hate your guts, and they develop stomach cancer later in life. You know,
it just goes to show the truth of the word of God. You know, the humanity in the world is like, oh, well, we're going to cut Jesus out of it. But yeah, we're going to try to manipulate this for our own purpose. But there is truth in there.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, this has been fantastic, Dr. Monzo. You know what? I feel like, guys, let's just take a moment and pray. Because if it's information they don't want out, and it's super important. And I'm just so thankful to get to be able to do this. But let's just pray that it goes far and wide, and people wake up to the system that they're in. And as I've been saying in the last few episodes, there's no bad publicity. When Satan counterfeits things of God, God's fingerprints are on everything. Mm-hmm. So when we see these manipulations and this, you know, control of information and the deplatforming that happened during COVID, we see all these things and people go, yeah, wasn't that evil? We can point it back to a God that loves us, that wants to protect us from this stuff and make us aware of what's coming. So I don't know, Dr. Monzo, if you would just kind of lead us in a word there as we wrap up.
Sure. All right, Father, we just come into your presence and give you thanks for today and everything that's going on. We just ask that you would use these words and everything we talked about today to impact everybody's lives. We just ask that you would, that your spirit would go out and open up the hearts and the minds of those ears of those who are listening, so they can understand and process this information correctly, that they can implement it into their own lives, and they can learn more about how to get out of this matrix that we find ourselves in, and how not to be participating in the beast system. We just ask that you continue to give us strength and knowledge and wisdom, that we'd be able to follow your ways and your word, and that we would be relying on you as the ultimate savior. So we just give you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus, Yeshua, and amen.
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 Hey, and Doc, and let our listeners know where they can find you, whether it's social media, websites, any resources that you might want to share.
Yeah, so everything's getting a lot easier because we have one kind of hub website now. That's Dr. Monzo, so drmonzo.com. If you go there, there will be a bunch of different tabs at the top. So you can find a tab that takes you to the clinic. If you want to come, if you need help with health-related topics, there's one that's called the Alaptop Body where you can get more information about the therapy in my book. There's another one that has the supplements that links you to the whole food supplements that I'm making with the company Azure Standard. And there's a media link, and that has a lot of different videos and podcasts. And the website is pretty new, so there are still some things we're trying to get up there. It's like I don't have all my media stuff there, and the store is a work in progress. But for the most part, you can find everything you need to about me and how to get in contact with me from that one website.
Excellent. And we'll put that in the show notes as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, and I'm intrigued about the Alaptop system. I mean, I've been into kind of natural health for a long time. I used to be in a network marketing company because I love that stuff. And it angers me. And we should talk about the cancer system in our country, how it's better to go to other countries because legally they can treat with things that can actually work. Yep. You know, Mexico even. Because Luke, you brought up about, you know, how are other countries doing it?
In this country, you got to pay out of pocket. You know, if you're wanting to use your traditional insurance carrier, you know, which costs an arm and a leg, you know, to have, and then you don't even get all the choices you want. I'm thankful, and maybe I could share this, is when I was in the military, they wouldn't let me see a chiropractor. It wasn't something they would pay for. I had to pay out of pocket. Yeah. Now things have changed. The VA and stuff is now covering chiropractors. So there are some positive changes taking place, but it's a mess.
Yes, it is. All right. Well, with that, we will wrap up on the Days of Noah podcast. Thanks again, Dr. Monzo, and we will certainly schedule another time to have you back.
All right. Thanks for having me.